Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Over the weekend, the Minnesota Vikings unfortunately lost at the hands of the Green Bay Packers, who we just can't stand, at U.S. Bank Stadium. And to discuss and talk about what transpired at U.S. Bank Stadium, none other than Sam Ekstrom, Zone Coverage Minnesota, joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. How you doing, Sam?
Doing pretty well, Henry. A little better than the Vikings secondary did on Sunday.
Yeah, that was not good. And I want to start with the defensive side of the football, because the identity to me of the Minnesota Vikings organization, and even the current state of their team, is defense. When I think of Mike Zimmer and I think about how we identify with Minnesota Viking football, you think about the defensive side of the football. And I know that there are some new faces. I know that there are, you know, you're missing some key guys like Danielle Hunter, and Michael Pierce opted out because of COVID-19. So it's kind of like you're in a transition mode. You know, you're trying to continue to remain relevant and good on the defensive side of the football, but there's a lot of changes there. But to think that against the Green Bay Packers in week one, that the Minnesota Vikings would give up 43 points to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, the most points given up in the National Football League this weekend, I just, that part I'm stunned by. I think that me, you, Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter, and Sloan Martin, we all on Friday predicted that the Packers most likely would win this game, but I had no idea that the Vikings' defense would look as bad as it looked.
No doubt about it. And Mike Zimmer, you know, really spent this entire preseason trying to talk up his defense. He was a little offended by the notion that they weren't going to be good. I think he thinks very highly of his system, and he hasn't had many bad defenses, so this is a little bit foreign to him. And objectively, it was the worst performance of Mike Zimmer's tenure in Minnesota. The most points allowed, 43 points allowed. Aaron Rodgers throws for 364 through the air, and it could have been 450 if he completes a couple other deep balls that had a chance. And just the eye test, too, Lake. How many times over the years have we seen a Mike Zimmer defense that maybe gives up a couple long drives, it looks like it's going to be a tough game, and then they find a way to in-game adjust? They correct course, and then they tighten the screws late in the game. And in this one, it seemed to go from bad to worse. I mean, they were kind of bending but not breaking in the first couple quarters. And then once Green Bay scored that first touchdown, and then again after the Cousins interception, the floodgates opened, and they gave up four passing plays of 38 yards or more. This is not a defense that typically gives up big plays. And it didn't seem like they knew how to adjust. And I couldn't get Mike Zimmer to really admit that. His young secondary was part of the reason they couldn't make those adjustments. But I suspect behind the scenes that's a big reason why. And they just didn't perform very well. You know, even if they did know what to adjust on, it didn't seem like they really knew how to defend Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers was picking them apart. And it wasn't just one guy. It was Mike Hughes, Holton Hill, Cam Dantzler, and the pass rush couldn't breathe on Aaron Rodgers. Shamar Stephen led them with two pressures, and he's a nose tackle. So clearly it was a total system failure on defense, coaching, secondary, defensive line, the whole bit.
Yeah. The entire scheme just it did not play out well for Viking football on Sunday. And I think that we all anticipate that veteran quarterbacks will be attacking this young secondary. But you're right, though, at the end of what you just said, like, they didn't even breathe on Aaron Rodgers. Like, the pressure was non-existent. There was no pressure. So what was the most disappointing part, at least in your opinion? Was it the fact that the young secondary got picked on at times, or was it the fact that they just were not putting any pressure on Aaron Rodgers at all? And by the way, Holden Hill, I thought, had a really rough day, and he is not a rookie cornerback.
Yeah, I think I'm a little more disappointed in the secondary just because you do have Holden Hill, like you mentioned, who's shown good things for a couple of years, and Mike Hughes, who's a first-round pick. So you had a little bit there that I think you had reason to be optimistic about. But the fact that they were as unprepared, you know, as they look, and they didn't even include Jeff Gladney. So, and that's a first round pick. So that clearly means that they trust him less than the options they had on the field. I think the defensive line without Danielle Hunter, I think that's almost to be expected. And they tried to get pressure from, you know, safety blitzes, double A gap blitzes. They actually brought extra pressure 20 times. According to Pro Football Focus, but Aaron Rodgers had an answer for it every time. He had the outlet to throw to. Often it was Davante Adams. And when your coverage isn't very good, the blitz is going to kill you because then you've got fewer guys in the secondary. And that's been the hallmark of this defense is when you blitz, you could trust your cornerbacks and safeties and whoever to play tight one-on-one coverage. And that simply wasn't the case on Sunday. So I'm a little more disappointed in the secondary.
Yeah, my mind is still blown at what took place on Sunday. We all anticipated that the Packers would win, but just the way that it shook out was another thing. We're talking to Sam Ekstrom from Zone Coverage Minnesota here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. What did you make of Kirk Cousins and the offense? Because I don't think that Kirk Cousins had a poor game. But I don't think that it was some outstanding game by the offense. And the reason why I say this is because I really felt like this game was never in doubt after halftime. Like the Packers did whatever the heck that they wanted. And then they relaxed defensively when they built up a lead. And, you know, I know I'm going to come across as a Kirk Cousins hater, but I thought that it was garbage time stats, at least in my opinion. The connection between him and Thielen I love it. I want to see more of it, but it wasn't in a situation where Green Bay was in fear of what the Vikings were going to do.
I think there were two positives offensively regarding Kirk Cousins. One of them you mentioned, he and Thielen still seem to have good chemistry. And number two, he looked as mobile as we've seen him. He had a couple scrambles for first downs. He seemed reactionary when he was trying to get out of some congestion in the pocket. So those two things were good. I don't put a lot of stock into the fourth quarter, even though they put up 24 points, about the quietest 24-point quarter that you'll ever see in NFL history, because they never possessed the ball trailing by fewer than three possessions. So it wasn't even like they were trying to score to get within a touchdown. They were trying to score to get within a touchdown and a field goal. I mean, it was really all against prevent. But I think about after the opening drive touchdown where they looked really good, they go safety, three and out. Then they have sort of that fluky field goal, you know, at the end of the half where Cousins completed one good ball. And then to start the second half, they go punt and turnover on downs with that controversial fourth and three decision to throw to Tajay Sharpe. So there were about five straight drives when the game was still there for the taking where the offense did not deliver. And then in the fourth quarter, things loosened up. You know, Mike Zimmer basically said after the game, he didn't think that it was necessarily the offense's doing. The Green Bay just kind of relaxed a little bit. So I am down on the offense in general. I thought there were a couple nice pieces to it. I also thought the running game looked decent when Madison and Cook got the ball. But all in all, again, it was a weak middle two quarters, or really first three quarters from Cousins and company.
Well, what did you make of the play where they gave up the safety? What did you make of the deep drop on that? because that was a little bit confused. I think you got to get the ball out quicker than that. So, and we know that Kirk Cousins is not a quarterback that's generally good at being aware of his surroundings. That's just not who Kirk is.
The play call was interesting to me. I think if you're gonna do a play action, you got to roll out. You got to roll so you can get out of the pocket, and then you have the ability to throw it away and, you know, avoid the intentional grounding, which would then result in the safety. I mean, I think you need to at least have that as an outlet, but then to go straight back in a position where, you know, the blindside corner flies in, we suspect that Dalvin Cook's the one who was assigned that protection and he missed it. Would have been a tough block for him anyway, but, you know, Thielen motioned to the inside and sort of drew the corner in. Great, great blitz by Alexander. And the play is a little bit peculiar. I don't mind passing there on second and seven, but to pass in the way they did with the nine-step drop, I thought was a little odd. You know, clearly trying to be aggressive after a big momentum building fourth down stop at the goal line. Remember, it was 7-3 at that point. I mean, the Vikings were feeling good. They just stopped Green Bay at the one. And then to give the momentum back in that moment, the whole game shifted after that. And I think Green Bay, you know, scored the next 17 points after that safety.
Yeah. We're talking to Sam Ekstrom, Zone Coverage Minnesota, here on Late Night News Talk 830-WCCO. Has Coach Mike Zimmer, has he said how long it's going to take for Ngakoue to be an impact? Like how much more acclimated does he have to be to this situation, this team, for us to expect that he is going to be an active participant on Sundays?
Sure. It was a little bit misleading, some of the messaging that they sent throughout last week, because by the sound of it last week, he was ready. I mean, they were talking about how late he was staying after practice, the long hours he was putting in with Andre Patterson. They said he looked good in practice and well-conditioned. So all of the things that they said during the week, then after the game, suddenly weren't true. And I know they're just not going to reveal their hand to Green Bay and to the public, but all the things that they said during the week were reversed. Suddenly he wasn't quite ready. You know, he wasn't entirely sure about the playbook. So I guess it's going to take a little more time. You know, he did hold out for most of the offseason, so I'll buy it that his conditioning isn't 100%. Green Bay ran 78 plays in the game, so that's going to wear anybody out if you're in there the whole time. And Ngakoue was in there for 44 snaps, so, you know, about half. I think that we'll steadily see his role increase, but he clearly didn't look like the Pro Bowler that fans were expecting. I think he had one pressure in 44 snaps on the field. I think he might have had one tackle. So it was a very ineffective game for Ngakoue. He's going to need to be a lot better in this time that Danielle Hunter's out. So as much as they can expedite his progress, they need to do that.
Well, let me ask you this, Sam. I don't know if you will agree with me or not on this, but I think that Coach Zimmer and the organization is having right now essentially a bad PR moment. And what I mean by that is, I think that the way that they played this out with Danielle Hunter and the injury, I think it's backfired on them in regards to how the fans are looking at it. So when you go for so long and you say it's a tweak, it's a tweak, it's a tweak, and then he lands on IR, and then you get drubbed by the Packers in week one, fans right now are rightfully pissed. They're like, man, hold on. We expect you guys to be transparent, and we're not expecting you to give us all of the secrets, right, to what's going on with the Vikings organization, but we're not expecting you to be Bill Belichick, you know, at least without the rings, right? Like, I really feel like a lot of fans right now, I don't want to say are not trusting the Vikings, but when you roll out with the tweak, and then it's more than a tweak, and he lands at least for 3 weeks on injured reserve, and it could be more weeks, and then you go out there and have the type of lackluster effort that they had on Sunday, I think a lot of fans are just not feeling good about the state of Viking football right now. And it's only week number two.
Right. A lot of people pressing the panic button, that's for sure. Like, you know how the NFL could clear some of this up? Just have a once-a-week training camp injury report. Doesn't have to be every day. like in the regular season, just once a week, every Monday, just get the injury report out. Every team has to do it, and then it would clear up all of these teams trying to be, you know, subversive and secretive. Here's one area where I think the Vikings benefited from their secrecy, and I have no clue if this was their long-term plan the whole time, but think about what Jacksonville would have asked for Ngakoue. Yeah. If they had known that Danielle Hunter was going to be out for an extended period, I think they demand a first. I mean, if they got the sense that the Vikings were that desperate, I don't think they get him for a second and a future fifth. I think it's probably a first and a third. Like, I think in that sense, the Vikings actually were smart to be secretive. But in general, I mean, the lying about injuries and the inability to discuss it, especially when it's such an important piece. And it when you use the word tweak, you know, just say that you're not going to talk about it. Don't set the expectation at tweak and then have it be a 2-month thing. That's where I think people have the right to be upset.
Yep. Anything about the Indianapolis Colts scare you other than they've got a veteran quarterback in Phillip Rivers that when he's on, he can be good, but he also is a guy that's gonna have some turnovers. He's gonna give the defense opportunities to have some takeaways. Anything about the Colts concern you looking at what they did over the weekend and their loss against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, not really. And maybe that's just because I've seen this Mike Zimmer defense against Phillip Rivers a couple times, and they've eaten him up. And I think Mike Zimmer really thrives when he's game planning for sort of a statuesque, immobile quarterback like Rivers. You know, Rodgers is so dangerous outside the pocket, and that's given a lot of teams trouble, including the Vikings. Rivers just doesn't have that same ability. He's going to stand in there, and I think they can more easily affect his rhythm. And he's a little more careless with the football. You know, when you blitz Aaron Rodgers 20 times, he can handle it like a pro. Phillip Rivers will have a couple throws in there where he's flustered and he gives you a chance to make a game-changing play. And, like, you know, the Vikings didn't really have a takeaway against the Packers except for that turnover on downs. They're going to have a chance to take the ball away from Phillip Rivers and the Colts. So there will be fans there, it sounds like, limited capacity, so maybe a little bit of a road environment. But I still think the Vikings can win this game and right the ship. They have to. I mean, if you start 0-2, then your season is already on the ropes after 2 weeks. Everybody knows the stats about 0-2. You don't want to drop the first two games of the year.
No question about it. That's Sam Ekstrom here on Late Night News Talk, A30 WCCO. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Sam Ekstrom, and check out his work at Zone Coverage Minnesota. Hey, Sam, have an awesome rest of your week, man.
You too, Lake. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.